to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello and welcome to all of my brains all over the world to On the Edge. How you guys doing? Are you doing good? Do you guys have a mother-in-law that is getting on your last nerve? Really? Have you thought about incorporating different techniques and modalities like meditation and coaching and reading a good book to get her from being up under your skin? Are you the mother of a heavyweight champion? Are you a life coach? Well, all of these things are incumbent in my guest, Stephanie Malios. She's awesome. She helps us find hope and happiness in the mother-in-law from hell. She wrote a great book. Stephanie is a certified life coach and has been a longtime devourer of self-help and inspirational books and a lifelong student of personal development. She has spent the last several years focusing on consciousness, studies, meditation, and her own personal inner growth journey. Stephanie lives in Ontario, Canada, a beautiful place, with her soulmate, her husband, for more than 30 years. And she is also the mother of two sons, one of them being Canada's heavyweight boxing champion. Brains, sit up straight, ring your bell, as we welcome Stephanie Malios to The Edge. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, April. Thank you for having me.
The brains are excited. Okay, we want to hear all about you, your journey, your transformation, what you're pouring into people, what's growing organically from that, and how in the world do you mellow out a mother-in-law that is off the chain? Please, tell us.
Okay, well, that's a lot, April.
That is.
Well, it's I think first we have to understand that we can never change anybody else. The only person that we could actually work on is ourselves. And once we can accept that, then true change can actually begin.
Right. Yeah. And that's a big pill to swallow, because you got to look in the mirror and identify with who you are and take ownership and responsibility. Because everything is not the other person's fault. We contribute to this, right?
Absolutely. It takes two.
That's right.
And often, you know, it's very easy to look at the other person and point the finger and blame them, but it's much harder to take ownership and responsibility for ourselves. And if we work on ourselves, change does happen.
You really believe that?
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely.
I do. That was a trick question.
Yes, I absolutely do, because it's when you start to change and work on yourself, your energy starts to get a lot better. You start to get a lot happier. And then those little things that used to get on your nerves before, they're not such a big deal anymore.
Right.
They're not these big mountainous things. And we're not waiting to hear every little word that the other person is saying. We're not looking for problems.
Right.
You know, when we stay on our own path and we worry about our own stuff, you're more like Teflon. Stuff can roll over a lot better. You're not personalizing every little thing that somebody else is saying.
Right, and it's how you show up. You know, it's really,
yes,
it's really what you bring to the table. How much, you already know who you're dealing with. So how much am I going to let this person's comments, energies, emotion, bad cooking, how am I going to let all of that impact me? What was your aha moment? Let's go back a little bit. Let my brains know a little bit about you and where you came to this startling revelation.
I would say my aha moment probably was pretty much those things that I'm talking about. One of the times that really stuck out with me was my mother-in-law did not call me on my birthday. It was, I think it was in my early 40s, and typically she would call every year. And this one year, I didn't get a phone call. Now, I personalized that. Oh, she might have done it on purpose. She might have done this. She might have done that. So I took it very personally. It could have been an oversight. You know, she is an elderly woman. Sometimes she can forget things. So, but I took it as a snub. I took it very personally. And when I look back, I'm thinking, that was my perception. Was that the reality of the situation? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But that was how I was looking at it. So I had to take a step back and see why was I getting bent out of shape? Maybe I need to ask the questions. Maybe I need to ask, you know, was there a problem? Did you forget, for example? So I just noticed that I'm just getting myself worked up, and maybe the other person just simply forgot. Maybe they weren't feeling well. So I just put everything on my mother-in-law as opposed to taking any ownership myself. And what I found was that when I started to take the ownership, and I started to do a lot more thinking, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've been trying for over 20 years to try to fit into this family. And my aha moment was, wait a minute, maybe my mother-in-law should have been trying to fit more into my family as well. So here I am trying to say the right thing, not step on anybody's toes, be invisible, not hurt anybody's feelings, always trying to do the right thing and not upset anybody, and realizing I've created my own new family. Other people also have to step up to the plate as well. So it's a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving dynamics. So I think if everybody takes ownership for their own role, things will go a lot more smoother. And if we all have the attitude of trying to be a harmonizer in our family as opposed to being a divider, we'd get along much better. And
sometimes people just take the wheel, you know.
Absolutely.
They want total control. They have
That's
influencers.
Correct.
Maybe she didn't celebrate birthdays. Did you have conversations with your mother-in-law during these times and expressing to her and your spouse how you were feeling, or was this something that, again, you were conjuring up in your own brain and suppressing your feelings?
Well, I didn't confront my mother-in-law because she was a little tough cookie, and I just learned not to get into confrontation. And also the respecting your elders part was very instilled in my upbringing. So not to start an argument or anything like that. But I did have it out with my husband over that. The poor husbands always get it, you know. They're right in the middle. If they don't get it from their mama, they're going to get it from their wife. So, yeah, it was a situation where I brought it up and he didn't really pay too much attention to it. And I paid more attention to it than he did. And so that just really started my deep thinking and thinking to myself, I'm the queen of my castle. I don't have to worry about what somebody else thinks, what somebody else says. You know, I'm my own queen. And there's no magic age that was going to happen at. I just had to literally take my own power back. And that's how I viewed it. And I thought, no, I'm just going to be myself. And if somebody accepts me, then they accept me. If they don't, then that would be on them. That would be their stuff. Like, we can't carry everybody else's stuff, you know? And so a lot of those realizations kind of culminated all in that, kind of just feeling hurt. And kind of when we get past that anger, when we get past the snub, all it is that we feel hurt. We feel rejected. We want to be accepted. And that's where all that stems from. You know,
or
we
want
down
control.
A little bit deeper. We do.
We
ask. We
absolutely
can want control.
Because when the wife steps in, those vows say you forsake all other, you know. So
100%.
That's mother, your kids, your grandmother, everybody, I come first. I want to read a small excerpt from your book, Get This Mole, Mother-in-Law from Hell, Off My Back, The Must-Have Mother-in-Law Survival Guide. I love this. This is so unique. On page 94 at the bottom, it says, most daughter-in-laws tend to carry their moles everywhere they go, like the wallet in their purse. There are only one sale away from pulling out their wallet. All it takes is someone to ask, how's your weekend? Before you start spilling the beans about something about your mother-in-law said or did. It doesn't take much prodding or poking, as your emotions about her are always just below the surface. Since most women feel that they can't speak to their spouse about their true feelings, they often share these stories and feelings with other women who are more sympathetic and quick to offer stories and join in. It's almost like an unspoken sisterhood. Through those interactions, daughter-in-laws often find empathy and validation that they didn't receive at home. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions about that. I found that very profound. I don't have a mother-in-law, God rest her soul, but I have some other contributing influences, okay, that think that we are an ATM, that think that we are a whipping board, that think that maybe your spouse should have been with someone else because that's who they like. All of this outside noise and this influence. And in addition to that, my mother lives with us and has lived with us for over 23 years. But I made it perfectly clear to her upon her move-in date that this is his house, that he is the king of this castle, and that if there's a situation between me and him, that's a situation between me and him. If there's a situation between her and him, that's a situation between her and him. On the flip side, I had the conversation with him that that is my mother and that you need to respect her regardless, but don't come to me with that noise. Have a respectful conversation with her. So you've got all of this outside influence. Let's start talking about the chitter-chatter of girlfriends and extended family. How do we reduce that? Because Thanksgiving is coming up, and everybody's going to be there.
I think there's actually quite a bit there. I think the first of all is exactly what you mentioned, boundaries. We have to have boundaries and really guard our relationships. We really have to be the first ones to respect our relationship. So that chitter-chatter, that gossip, nothing good can ever come from gossiping. Because what happens, it leaves that residue, it leaves that negative residue. We're not often going around with the same intensity when something great happens, or our spouse bought us flowers, or he said, you know, some beautiful words to us, or he cooked us a nice meal. We're not saying it with as much passion as when something else negative happens. So that kind of lingers. And what happens is when we don't get that support at home, our girlfriends, they will support us. And often that's sometimes the only support we'll get. And so that's, I think, one of the reasons that prompts us to do that is because we're just looking for that. We need to be right. And that's the only person that's validating our feelings, saying that, you know what, you're entitled to your feelings. Oh, I would feel the same way. So that's where we're getting that. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why we do that. But especially when it comes time to the holidays, I think a lot of that kind of behavior, especially a lot of times when it's family, you know how somebody can be. When somebody starts to say something personal or when somebody goes past the boundary, first of all, we have to develop our own personal boundaries. What are they? We have to determine how far we'll let somebody come in and how far out they have to stay outside of that gate. So we have to be the first ones to do that. We have to teach people what they can and can't say to us about our relationship, about our marriage. And if we don't respect it, other people won't respect it either. So we have to do the walk ourselves and do the talk too. And when you know family members that are nosy, that do want to get in your business, it's always good to kind of have some prepared statements. This is something like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get into that today, or let's just enjoy the meal today, or let's just have fun, let's just enjoy the family. Sometimes preempting these things and kind of almost like rehearsing it in your mind, how you're going to be in that situation, kind of like a dress rehearsal. Because then when you are sitting at that table and when you do get those comments, you know better how to respond. Or maybe you just want to maybe give some help to the hostess in the kitchen, or maybe you want to go for a walk, or maybe spend some time with the children, or do
or
something.
Or maybe you want to pull back on that extra bottle of wine on the table.
Yeah,
you know,
you might need to.
Exactly, because you know a drunk person speaks a sober mind, and they can go once they've had that cocktail or two. You know.
Oh yes. Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I think that's where that personal responsibility comes in, because I personally feel that our family is our responsibility, whether it's your mother or your father. Your side of the family, that's your responsibility. Your spouse's family, that's his responsibility. And that's where hurt feelings come in. If he, for example, talks to your mother or you talk to his mother, they just get hurt. So to avoid that, it's best to talk to your spouse. But I think where we run into the problems is our spouses just don't want to get involved. sometimes they just kind of brush it off. Oh, that's just mom. That's just the way that she is. Or they don't see a problem. Sometimes they might
right.
agree with their mother. So there could be issues.
Or there's an element of
also.
Fear. You know, if mother
sure.
has always, you know, mm-hmm. Raised you with an iron fist, then she
yes.
can, you know, let loose on you too. How does
Absolutely.
This incorporate and disseminate down to the children? You know, because people don't think
mm-hmm.
that infects them. But my grandmother is the best person in the world, but she doesn't like my mother. Or when she,
mm-hmm.
her and mother get together, they always argue. How can we soften
mm-hmm.
the blow on that? Because kids are listening to everything we say
yes.
and do.
Yes, I think that one thing is that we should really embrace the value that grandparents bring to the grandchildren. We really should nurture that relationship and really put your own personal feelings aside. It's so important to have that value that the kids can spend time with that unconditional love, kind of that spoiling, that outpouring
mm-hmm.
of love. And grandparents can often do that. And sometimes we need to step back and let them have their role. Sometimes in order to do that, and a lot of times, especially with the clash between mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, oftentimes children can be that pawn. It can be the mother saying, well, those are my children. They belong to me. Well, you can't have any part of this. So that just exacerbates the problems. And the kids can
right.
feel it. You can feel tension. You can feel that energy. You know when somebody doesn't like someone. So that might pass on to those feelings, too, over to the grandparents. You know, they may not want to go over to grandma's house. Or they could be drilled when they come home. Well, what did grandma say? Well, what did
mm-hmm.
grandma give you for lunch? You know, it can be like
right.
sifting through for some problems. So I think it's just we should all be grown-ups at the table and just allow kids to really nurture that rich relationship with their grandparents. It's they may not have it for very long. And,
right. and
you know,
keep,
it's I think. mm-hmm.
And keep kids out of grown folks' business.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Don't question your child unless you feel that they're being harmed in some kind
yes,
of way.
That's different.
But when they are having
yes.
that experience with their extended family or their
mm-hmm.
grandparents, let them have that experience. You don't need to
exactly.
ask them everything that's going on between
yes.
them, every
yes.
nano conversation. They need to be able
exactly.
to build their own relationship and be able to have some confidence knowing that when they
sure.
go to grandma, that they're going to be supported. When they come to mom and dad, they're not going to be questioned. They're going to be supported. They're just going to
yes.
be loved.
That's
Let's talk
right.
about
that's
another
right.
thing.
Sure.
When you are introduced to your child's spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
a whole different thing because we in our own mind continuously
mm-hmm.
try to relive our lives and our relationships vicariously through our children. It's just human
mm-hmm.
nature. Sometimes we don't
yeah.
feel that a person is worthy enough or maybe they
mm-hmm.
don't come from means or maybe they
mm-hmm.
don't speak the same language. We have these preconceived ideas and judgments. Tell us how to open
mm-hmm.
ourselves up and expand our bandwidth to just be open to the person and get to know that person without setting judgments in a relationship
mm-hmm.
when we're becoming a mother-in-law.
I think that there's actually quite a few different layers to that one as well. And I pretty much in my own life, in my own relationships with my children and any girlfriends that my sons have had, any living girlfriends, I have always felt that that's their choice. Their heart knows who they love. Their heart knows who they should be with. We don't know our children as intimately as we believe that we do. We don't know everything about them. That's why
right.
we can't make that call. We can't judge what's best for them in that they know their heart's going to match with who they want to go through, even if it could be a difficult relationship, even if it's a relationship that's going to make them grow and learn about themselves. They have their inner being. They have their inner guidance system. They know their purpose in life. We can't tell them what that purpose is. So anybody who comes into their life, I feel, is kind of ordained. These are our spiritual, sacred arrangements that each of us have. We know when we recognize that person. We feel it inside. So we can't feel what our kids are feeling for that significant other. Only they know this. And to interfere with that is, to me, it's almost, it's a sacred thing. You really have to learn to back off. when you love someone, love is pure. Your intentions are good. You love that person. Nobody should interfere with that. And like I said, our kids are not, we're not privy to every single thing about our kids. And if our kids have chose a particular person we don't like, maybe we should own that because we raised our children.
Right.
You know what I mean? We raised them. So their values, what they like, their morals, all of that stuff, it is taking root. So they're seeing something else in this other person that we may not see. So
right.
I think it just behooves us to really open up our own hearts and just learn that that's their journey and their walk. We just are privileged to kind of share that journey along the way, but we should not be walking all the way over on that side and telling them what
right.
to do, how to think, how to feel. They have to learn some things on their own.
Exactly.
Without interference.
Because it's their experience, you know,
yes.
And they have to, again, they have to walk that walk. They have to shine in that
yes.
light. They know their boundaries. They know
yes.
when they've had enough.
They do.
And the things
yes.
that hurt us the most in our life are truly
mm-hmm.
our best teachers. So,
mm-hmm.
again, like,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You don't know everything about, you know, your child. We think that we do.
No.
But at a certain
sure.
point,
yeah.
at
mm-hmm.
a certain point, people say 18. 18 is not a magic number. My daughter didn't move out to
no,
she
it's not.
yeah, she was 28. She was
mm-hmm.
an adult, but, you know, still.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you never know
yeah.
when this person is going
no.
to evolve and what life experiences
sure.
That they are supposed to experience on this journey.
Exactly.
And so, again, we need to
exactly.
be open to that. Tell us a little bit about
yeah.
your coaching
yeah.
And, you know,
sure.
meditation. And, you know, consciousness,
sure. yeah.
the studies
yeah.
that you're doing. You're doing a lot of work. You sound like a very level,
yes.
balanced type of woman. What are you pouring into your clients?
Thank you. Oh, well, actually, I come from a few different perspectives. I do the life coaching, and I also pursue studies. I've always wanted to do therapy and that. So I'm actually just finished my psychotherapy program, and I'm in the practicum phase. So I'm working with clients, and I'm just working towards provincial registration with Ontario. So to be a registered psychotherapist, so I'm almost there.
Wow.
And yeah, and so I'm doing that part as well, and I'm also doing the life coaching, and I'm doing as well spiritual direction. And all of them have that spiritual element that that I've kind of pursued, where they all have traditional roots. So I would do the traditional therapy, the traditional life coaching, but with the spiritual element infused. And that's basically because I find people want to go much deeper than they did
right.
before. I find
right.
people are more in tune, and they're embracing their spirituality. They really want more purpose and more fulfillment in their life. So they want to go a little bit more in depth than your typical, maybe traditional type of helping healing professions in the past. So why I pursued all three, and I found all three worked for me in my own life, is what the psychotherapy, what we do is we can go backwards. We go back and we can heal old wounds, and we can connect them typically with present day issues. So basically psychotherapist is technically, let's going back and let's cleaning some stuff up. Let's heal some old wounds. Life coaching is let's move forward. So we've dealt with those wounds of the past. Now, where do we go from there? So life coaching pushes us forward. It helps us to also identify any subconscious blocks. What could be blocking us from achieving our goals? So this is more like looking into the future. So that's what my life coaching brings. We work with different things, especially with the spiritual life coaching. We deal with the law of attraction. We deal with energy. We deal with those things that subconsciously, why some things didn't work. Let's just say, for example, we did reach that goal weight. Our goal was to be a certain weight. We reached it, let's just say, but we're not happy. And we find that weight comes back on. Well, let's find out if there's certain any blocks that are blocking you from staying there, from achieving that goal, and where is that fulfillment? Where is that happiness? So that's what the life coaching perspective is. And the spiritual direction is basically journeying with somebody on a spiritual journey. That's more about going within. It's
right.
looking at your life purpose. What's your life meaning? Also dealing with the universal laws, the karmic laws. We talk about soul agreements. We talk about life purpose. I sit with somebody in their grief, if they're going through their pain, all of those things. So I found all three were really important, and I've had all three in my own life. The therapy to deal with old wounds that I needed to deal with, the life coaching, okay, now what do I do? How do I move
right.
forward? And the spiritual direction, I find, to really to get the most out of life, we really need to go within, to connect with God or divine or higher power, whatever, however somebody views that, that larger than life, that's outside of ourselves.
Right.
And we need to be able to go within, because that's what sustains us. That's where we dig deep when life is going really, really hard and really difficult. And I find there's a lot of people are, some have embraced the religion. There's a lot of religious wounding. If somebody's from one religion and they have a relationship with somebody from another religion, there's a lot of family conflicts. There's a lot of family issues, family breakups, a lot of those things, just if they don't mesh and people not embracing and accepting each other and just realizing that we truly are all connected.
We are
so
all
that's
connected.
That's what I've been working
level.
On. Mm-hmm.
And we're
mm-hmm.
also connected
yes.
with a 1-2 uppercut. Tell us about your son.
Oh, yes,
that
we
is
are.
The heavyweight champion of Canada.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, he talked about being a witness to a great journey. Yeah, it's. I have to say, both my sons, they really are following their life purpose. And for me as a mother, I think it's really important to allow your children to sift through and figure out what they want to do.
Yes.
And
yes.
if they want to be a heavyweight champion of the world, you be in their corner, be their biggest supporter. You help them, you know, when they're down, you help to pick them up. You know, you be that shoulder, you know, you be that smile that they can look to when they're feeling down, when they're being trashed on media or, you know.
Right.
And I have to say, you know, because that stuff comes with the territory when you're, you know, some people may love you, some people may hate you. And that's where that strong spiritual core comes in. You need to be centered. It doesn't matter how things are whirling around you. How do you stay calm in the eye of that storm? And how do you stay calm when you got a whole bunch of punches coming at your head?
I know. And the little Tweety
yeah.
birds circling around. Well, and what is your other
yes.
son? Now, your one son is a heavyweight champion. What's your other son do?
Yes. My other son is an investor. He's very passionate about finances, about trying to do good in the world and understanding that it takes a whole heck of a lot of cash to be able to support that. He
right.
had a friend who was homeless, and he was at the homeless shelter with him one day. And when he saw the conditions that the homeless shelter was in, it moved him, and he really, really went back. He was in university at the time, and he said, you know what, I really, really want to make a difference. And he wants to open up not just a homeless shelter, but one where you can actually uplift a person, help them find a job, give them therapy where they can, you know, what brought them there in the first place. You know, kind of really bringing community and helping hands together. So
right.
That's when he finds that he's using his tools. He's just brilliant with math and with numbers. And that was God's gift to him. I think we all have our gifts. We just have to find out what are they and
they
just
are.
Build on those. Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do yeah. is try to love the mother-in-law in spite of and teach her to love
yes.
us. Well, you have just, you know,
absolutely.
Been a wealth of information. I love the cover of
thank
your
you.
Book. Brains, please,
you.
You can get purchasing on Amazon, and Stephanie has been kind enough to send me a few copies. I'm going to put those in with a limited edition On the Edge coffee mug and send that to you, because we want you to get this mole, mother-in-law from hell, off your back. And if you are looking
you so
to contact, if you're looking to contact Stephanie, please give us all of your contact information, because I want my brains to reach out to you.
Thank you. Thank you so kindly. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
April.
So give them your website and how to get in contact
sure.
with you and how they can purchase a book.
Absolutely. My website is www.stephaniemilias.com. That's STESANIEMILJAS.com. And I'm currently updating also my website to include my coaching and therapy and spiritual director information as well. So that we're just working on that and finalizing the final stages.
Well, this has just been a wealth of information. Brains, we want you whole in every aspect of your life. We want you to, you know, drown out that negative noise. Don't be gossiping. Open your heart to somebody new in your family. You might have a rich jewel right there in your hand and don't even realize it. Stay out of your kids' business. Okay, let them figure it out. And if you can't, then we have great counselors that are going to work with you like Stephanie. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me. Brains, I need you to go back and listen to other edgy conversations. Help me up those numbers on YouTube. We're doing some Women from Around the World series. We've got some great videos. We got some art, some entertainment, some music, some science, some finance, some love. We got some crazy, whimsical stuff here on The Edge just for you. Thank you again, Stephanie, for being on The Edge with us. Come back and visit soon, okay?
Thank you so much, Avron. Thank you for my Dr. Phil cup. You're so generous. Thank you. That was a beautiful surprise. Thank you.
Well, you said that you were a Dr. Phil fan, and honey, so am I.
I am.
I went there, and I thought of you, because you know what? The doctor is in the house. He's quick to ask you, so how's that working for you?
He's a great inspiration.
Yes,
thank
he
you.
Is. All right. Peace and love there in Ontario,
peace
Canada,
and
around the world. Bye,
thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.